Psalm 94. Psalm 94. Let's go down to verse 19. Just have one verse to read for you here, but you're going to need your Bibles handy for the most of the night here. But Psalm 94, verse 19 says there, "In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul." Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Lord, we come to you here, Father. We are probably less troubled people than in so many other places in the world. Nevertheless, Lord, we're God's people, and while we are down here, we know we're going to have tribulation. Father, there are a thousand things that go through our minds. I pray, Father, you might be a help to us and an encouragement tonight to us here. I pray the Holy Spirit be able to minister to somebody's heart that perhaps is discouraged, perhaps is going through some things that they are sorely down about. Father, if that's not the case, then, Lord, there will certainly be times for all of us here that we're going to need to face these things. So we pray you'd help us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Psalm 94, 19. "In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts," God's comforts, "delight my soul." That's a verse that's kind of stuck, if you'd pardon the expression, to my ribs for most of my Christian life that I've been right with God. And normally, I suppose it's one of the verses that, first verses that comes to mind when it comes to time to sign a get well card or a bereavement card or even somebody's Bible when somebody asks me to do that. I'm not sure that I'm spiritual enough for it to be my life verse. But nevertheless, it's one that's stuck with me for some years. It says there, "In the multitude of my thoughts within me." And you know, I think about that verse in Proverbs that says, concerning wisdom, "All things that thou mayest desire are not to be compared unto her." And when I read that verse, I think, boy, I tell you what, I can desire a lot of stuff. Same thing with this verse. "In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul." I tell you what, folks, I can flat sure think some thoughts. Not the brightest bulb in the room, not the sharpest knife in the drawer. And the thoughts that run through my mind are not all that deep or all that profound. There's just lots of them. They just run through like a freeway, just like an interstate, man. And I tell you this right now, I can flat sure think some thoughts. And we are admonished, you know, in various places of the Word of God, we're admonished to be of a ready mind, of a studious mind, of a vigilant mind, and of a sober mind. We're supposed to be alert. We're actually supposed to take the Bible we learn, we're actually supposed to meditate on it and actually think about it, you know? And that being the case, we have thoughts, thoughts, thoughts. Boy, I tell you what, folks, you're Bible believers. You get warned of all kinds of stuff. You get warned about this world, the God of this world, all the multitude of things you're supposed to be thinking about. Thoughts, thoughts, and more thoughts. "In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul." All those thoughts, all the thoughts that a Bible believer should think are not all accompanied by fluffy clouds and fluffy bunnies and gummy bears. Some of those thoughts are very sober, very, sober thoughts in this day and age. We live in perilous times. The latter days, perilous times shall come. Guess what? Days are here, right? And if that's the case, there are certainly some things that you know. Doesn't take an apostle any longer to figure out the church. I'm not talking about necessarily here, but the church is in trouble. We've got emerging churches, biker churches, mega churches, giga churches, churches, and the church is in trouble, folks. I mean, if you read any stuff at all about what's going on, if you get Christianity to today, you will see this church, the church is in trouble, and it really is in trouble. You say, "I hope our church survives." Our church will survive if you stand by the stuff, right? Think about all the... We live in a country that's declining, believe it or not. I stop and think about all that's changed the last 15 years. 30 years ago, We were hearing, you know, oh yeah, things are going to hell in a handbasket. Things are getting really, really bad. I tell you what, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, folks, I tell you what, in the last 10 years, 30 years ago, folks would complain and predict things. But, you know, 30 years ago, you wouldn't have actually foreseen, been able to see in your mind this country becoming a second-rate banana republic. Well, I'll tell you what, some things have changed the last 10 years, amen? And with the incursion of illegal aliens, with the upsurge of sodomy and all the agendas that now go on, the Muslims coming in, it's not that far stretching. You don't have to have that great an imagination to actually be able to see this company, this country devolve down into insurgency and all sorts of anarchy, right? It is a scary day we live in. When you live in this day and you've got kids, and we've got kids, we love kids. We love our kids. We want our kids to do right. We want our kids to grow up and have the same kind of opportunities we did, right? And, you know, you got kids, you got a family, you got a wife. And I tell you what, it's a sober day. There are thoughts that you can't help but think, right? We look around, we have some of our own brethren and sisters who are casualties in the war, as far as we can tell right now. Not one, not two, but many. And most folks here know, folks, besides just somebody that might not be in church tonight, most everybody here knows some Christians that are now out of the race, and Lord knows what's going to happen to them, right? All right, those things, you know what? By the time you get through receiving Bible at a Bible-believing church, reading your Bible on your own, praying at night, and so on and so forth, and you see the things going on around us, tell you what, you get some thoughts in your brain, right? I'm telling you what, folks, you would have to be a moron with no synapses rubbing together to not think some things. Well, listen. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Look in Ecclesiastes 4 real quick. Just real quick here. Ecclesiastes 4. And it says there in that verse, in verse 1, so I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun. And behold, the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors, there was power, but they had no comforter. Now, when there's a rocky moment in your marriage, when your teenage kids go through some minor crisis or whatever, whenever you see things going on with your money, with your health, with various things that you face in trial and in life, just storms and trials and so on, I don't know what you think about. What I like to come to is this verse once in a while to remind myself that there are people in this life, plenty of people in this life, they have no comfort. They have no comforter whatsoever. They have no precious promises whatsoever. They have no hopes of a brighter day in the future whatsoever, at least from the Word of God. They have nothing like that. They have no soothing balm for the tears they cry at night. They have no comforter, and they have no comfort. Now, I am told in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that my God is the God of all comfort. And so, in the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. I don't get any comfort from Allah at all. And even if you become one with the doorknob or the candle, you ain't going to get any real comfort from Buddha. I'll tell you that right now. If you're a Hindu, you have 325 million gods, and you will get no comfort from any of them. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. You have access to some things that no religion can supply. You have access to things that philosophy cannot supply. You have access to things as a Bible-believing Christian that science will never, ever touch. I tell you what, you need those things today, and if you don't need them this moment, you don't feel, there will come a time that you will. I want to talk to you for a little while tonight about the delight of thy comforts here out of Psalm 94:19. And things I'm going to mention tonight are very superficial. There's lots more deep stuff I'm sure that somebody that's really been through dark, dark hours could teach us about. I'm sure that's true. I'm sure this is not in any way, shape, or form exhaustive. But I wanted to tell you about some of the comforts that I actually have. Look in Isaiah 40 real quick. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1. And notice there it says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now, first of all, the application of the passage is to Jerusalem. And the application is yet future. It's still prophetic. That is, there's coming a day that Jerusalem will not be in the shape she's in right now. There will come a day that God will speak comfortably to Jerusalem. There's coming a day that Jerusalem's warfare will be accomplished. I'll be glad for the day, by the way. But I'll tell you what this does. While this is not primarily a reminder for you, it is a reminder for us all that we have had some things accomplished for us. There's a work that has been accomplished. I'm reminded the fact that Jesus Christ died on a cross for me and you, and He said, it's halfway done. He said it is finished, right? Bible says in Colossians that ye are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. I'll tell you this right now. One of the comforts that I have in all the thoughts that run through my silly little superficial mind, all the worries, all the fretting, all the cares, one thing I'm able to always come back to is the fact that whatever else is done, I am saved. There's a work that's been accomplished. There's a work that's been finished in my life. Everything's not finished in my life. There is a warfare that's still raging. There's a battle that's still going on, right? Long as I'm in this flesh, there's going to be a battle that rages. But at the same time, there are things that are done. The devil is done as far as my soul's concerned. I will not see death as far as my soul's concerned. The law is dead to me and I to the law as far as my soul is concerned. It is a wonderful thing to have that work accomplished. Whatever else is true, whatever else I can lose, whatever losses I can suffer, there's one thing that's certain. There are some things that are most valuable to me and to you if you're a Christian that are in the bank right now. It is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Are you the type of person that a deadline stresses you out? I still occasionally have one of those weird, I'm still in college dreams, and the final is tomorrow, and I forgot to go to class the entire semester. Didn't finish my lab. I still wake up in the night sometimes with those dreams, and then the rest of the night is spent kind of half-dreaming where all night long you're fretting about this test you got to take and you forgot to go to class the entire time. By the way, I never did that in real life, but I'm just telling you, I still have those weird dreams sometimes. I was thinking the other day, here it is. Today is the last day of August, right? Oh, okay. Getting a little ahead of myself. Point is, last day of July. Tomorrow's August 1st. Me and Joseph still have about 8 cords of wood at my house to cut and split and get stacked. I'm thinking, okay, well, the snow's not going to fly for long. But, you know, it was just yesterday. It was June. And it's going to be fall on these days real soon, right? My point in saying all this, folks, is you one of those folks that when a deadline approaches, it kind of bugs you? Apparently, it doesn't bug some people. Did you know there are 60, 70-year-old men and women in this life, and they are still at this hour in the waning years of their lives, not necessarily the last year of their life, the waning years of their life, they are still unsaved. They have no answers whatsoever as to their eternal soul. There are folks that are my age, 50 years old. There are folks that are 40 years old. By the time a guy gets to be 40 years old, there are things that start going through his mind about his youth and about, you know, how he's got to still justify his virility and all that kind of stuff. So they think all kinds of things, but I tell you what, they don't think of a lot. They don't think about the day that they might drop dead at 50 years old. I had a stroke at 49 years old. Brother Mark had cancer at, what was it, 40 years old, something like that? Whatever that was. I mean, folks, it was a few years ago that we buried two or three guys in the sequence of a year that were under 35 years old that dropped dead of heart attacks or aneurysms. My point in saying all that, folks, is if you're 45 years old and you don't have this thing settled, I'll tell you what's a wonderful comfort in this life is to have those things settled and accomplished work. Tell you what, if you grew up in this church and you're 16 years old, you are wasting time if you're not saved. Okay? I'm not saying there are any 15 years old year olds here that are not saved, but if you're 15 years old and you're not saved and you grew up in this church, you are wasting time. You better get your act together, because there is an accomplished work. There's going to be a day that you have more trouble than you care to imagine in this life, and maybe you'll be in a hospital somewhere. Maybe somebody close to you dies and you wind up in a pickle. There's going to come a day that you're going to need some comforts. You're going to have all kinds of thoughts going through your mind. You're going to need something to fall back on. Tell you a wonderful thing to fall back on, an accomplished work. Tell you something else. Look in John 14. John chapter 14. Talking about the multitude of the thoughts within me, and amongst those thoughts, thy comforts delight my soul. Look in John 14. And along the way here, John 14, verse 16, we'll read. John 14, 16. And I, this is Christ, of course, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Okay, there's your comfort, right? Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And then notice, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. All right? Jesus Christ is the Spirit of truth. Holy Spirit, yes, that's still the Spirit of Christ. Tell you what a wonderful comfort is. Not only an accomplished work, but an abiding presence. All right? It is nice to know Jesus Christ is with me. Hebrews 13, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Matthew 28, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world, right? We sing a song. Christ liveth in me, and live in you He does if you're saved. It is a wonderful comfort to know you have Jesus Christ with you all the time. He never leaves you. He is sealed inside you. He is the Spirit of God. The Spirit that is in you is both the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ. You have Jesus Christ living in you. That is a wonderful thing. Look, how many movies, how many books are written with a theme that runs through them, that somebody loses a loved one, a mother, a father, a child, a dog, something they love, and they're crying. Somebody comes along and comforts them by saying, well, don't worry about poor Spot who died, because Spot will always be with you. He'll always be with you in your heart. He'll always be with you in your thoughts. And so the person goes on to win the Olympics because Spot is with them. Say, Brother Stevens, is that what you're talking about? That is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact that Jesus Christ lives right here inside this body. He is here right now in the body of every single Christian that sits here in this room right now. That is what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about some metaphysical, I'm kind of with you, I'll always be with you because when you think of me, I'll be there type thoughts. That is not the idea at all. I get so tired of hearing athletes, you know, their dad died and so they go on ahead and play in the Super Bowl, Brett Favre, whatever. They win the Super Bowl. Oh, I did it for my dad who's here with me today. No, he's not. He's probably in hell. Might be in heaven, but he's not here. I tell you what, though. Jesus Christ is here. If you think for a moment that Spot is with you or your dad is with you and he's dead, I got news for you. You're deceived. You are deluded. But I'll tell you this. If you're saved, Jesus Christ is with you right here, right now. That is a wonderful thing. He is living in me, all right? That is a wonderful comfort in the multitude of all the thoughts that run through my silly, silly little mind. All right, not only an accomplished work, an abiding presence, which leads us to something else. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. If I have the Spirit of God in me, and that Spirit is the Spirit of Christ, and it is, Romans chapter 8, then there's something else that's true. Ephesians chapter 1, notice verse 13. Talking of Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. That is the Spirit of Christ. Look in Ephesians 4, go down to verse 30. It says there, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Tell you what, not only do I take comfort in an accomplished work, in an abiding presence, but I'll tell you what, how about a sealed security? We could go on eternal security for a little while here tonight, and I'm not going to have time to do all that, but I'll tell you what a comfort it is to know that if you receive Christ as your Savior, you're saved and you're going to stay saved. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, famine or nakedness, or peril or sword, nay, and all these things, I am more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. That Spirit is Christ's Spirit. Jesus Christ lives in you. He is sealed in you. He's going to stay in you till the day of redemption. You know what that means? That means you are secure. That is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Now look, I'm sorry. I'm sorry eternal security is exploited by people. I really am. I am sorry that folks take liberty with it. I'm sorry that they use their liberty as an occasion to the flesh. I am sorry that many have lost their testimonies. I am sorry that sometimes both the doctrine and the church have gotten a bad name for the fact that there are people that are saved who live like the devil. I am really very sorry about that. I wish it were not the case. Nevertheless, for me, it is a comfort to know that in trying to live right, when I fail and when things fall apart, when my country elects an idiot as president, surrounded by idiots in Congress, undermined by idiots here in our local government and everything else, tell you what, it gives me comfort to know that I have eternal security, that I have a Spirit sealed inside me, and that Spirit is Jesus Christ's Spirit. It is the person of Jesus Christ. It is a great comfort. It is such a comfort for me, to be honest with you. I remember struggling with my salvation back when I was 20 years old. I really did. I'd been saved for 10 years, and I really struggled with it. I was still fearful of dying and going to hell. Well, there came a day at Pot of Gold Youth Ranch down in South Texas somewhere, San Antonio, Texas somewhere, whatever, that I finally got that thing nailed down. I said, you know what? I have repented of everything I can repent of. I have believed in every possible way I can think of to believe. I've exercised faith in anything I can imagine. Tell you what, Jesus Christ died for me. Jesus Christ did it all for me. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to trust my Savior to do what He said He'd do for me, which is that He would save my soul and keep me until the day of redemption. I tell you this, since that time, it's been 25, something like that, years. It's been a long time. I was 20 years old, so that would make it 30 years. I can never add and subtract in front of people. Never mind. No more than I can spell in front of people. But tell you this, been through church splits since then, been through raising some kids since then, been through various things, been penniless since then. One time I borrowed money to pay my taxes. It's pretty bad. And you know what? Whatever else is the case, as troubled as sometimes the waters have been, I have not worried about my salvation for 30 years. You know why? Because I trust my Savior. It is a great comfort. Folks, I've had a stroke since then. I laid in a hospital, at Mercy Hospital, and I was not for one moment troubled with whether or not I was saved. It is a great comfort to know you're saved and to know you're secure. Not only that, look in Romans 9 real quick. One of the great comforts of God to me is an accomplished work, an abiding presence, a sealed security. And then there's this. Look in Romans chapter 9, verse 21. I know there's a context to all this, and I'm not going to have time to go through all of this, but verse 21, "Hath not the potter power over the clay, of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor, another unto dishonor?" If you're familiar with Jeremiah 18, you know that one time Jeremiah went down to the potter's house, and there he saw a piece of pottery marred by the hand of the potter. The potter smashed it and made it over again, right? I tell you, one of the great comforts to me of God is the potter's hand. You know, if I sometimes think about lost folks, think about what they think about, try to imagine what it would be like to still be lost. I've been saved for 40 years. And, you know, to me, one of the things that would seem to me would be the one of the worst things about being lost is the arbitrariness of troubles, the purposelessness of them. I mean, you're lost, you're just trying to get by, trying to get through to the next drunken bash on Friday, and in the meantime, you find out your mother or your father has cancer, you lose your job, the car breaks down, and for what? Just arbitrary happenstance? It's just things happen. It's just bad luck. It's just chance. There's no purpose. There's no design. There's no designer. I'm just lost and things just happen. This is my lot in life and I guess I'll just draw welfare the rest of my life. Know what I'm saying? To me, that would be the worst thing about being lost besides going to hell. I mean, lost here without hope, but lost here having things happen, not being able to see the hand of a designer whatsoever. I'll tell you what's a great comfort to me. It's the hand of the potter. It's the knowledge that God does to me what He wants to do to me, but it's for my benefit. There's a plan behind it. There's a design behind it. For a Christian, look, folks, for a Christian, we may not like the trials and tears the Lord brings our way. We may not. There may be something that we fear, like Job, that He brings our way that we do not want to go through. That is certainly true. Brother Mark did not want to go through cancer treatment, did not want to have part of an intestine pulled out. I certainly didn't plan on a stroke, and Ian didn't plan on going to the hospital on Wednesday. Right? But I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, it is a blessing to know that whatever else is the case, this stuff does not happen out of arbitrariness. I have a Father. I have a Savior. I have a Captain, a shepherd, and I have a friend. He cares for me. He's doing these things for a reason. The Bible says this. Job says, look, when I am tried, I shall come forth as gold. There's a purpose behind this. He never, as far as I know, he never understood completely. God never explained to Job exactly why He did all He did. But Job said this. He said, I shall come forth as gold. You know, it says in Hebrews 12, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. You know what? I know that it's not fun to get a whooping. It's not fun to be taken to the woodshed, which is what happens sometimes. But I'll tell you this right now. It is a greater comfort than going to the woodshed, getting the snot beat out of you, and sitting there knowing there's no, or not believing there's a reason behind any of it at all. If your wife or child gets hit by a truck and is killed, isn't it at least nice to know there's a God that watched it happen, there's a good reason that it did happen somewhere along the way, and that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Isn't it nice to know when you get a whooping, at least somebody that's whooping you loves you? Isn't that a wonderful thing? Doesn't that comfort you at all? Psalm 119 says this, "Thou, I know that Thou in faithfulness hath afflicted me." Says this in Psalm 23. You ever think about this? We say the Psalm 23. Thy rod and thy staff shall comfort me. You ever wonder about that? Thy rod and thy staff shall comfort me. A rod is used to herd sheep. A staff is used to herd sheep. The shepherd holds his rod, and that's to whack the sheep pretty good to get them moving. The staff has a hook on the end, which he reaches over and redirects them, right? Isn't it a comfort for you to know that in your life as a Christian, there's a God that's walking beside you, that whacks you sometime to speed you up, and then reaches over and hooks you and redirects you a little bit? That's a better comfort than arbitrariness. It's a better comfort than purposelessness. It's a better comfort than evolution. I'm here because once there was a bang, and the bang became a rock, and then the rock got some water on it, and somewhere along the way in the puddle, there was life that sprang up, and I sprang up a paramecium, then a tadpole, and one day, billions and billions of years later, I crawled out, and my kind started multiplying, and here I am, just an arbitrary spark. Where I'm going, nobody knows, but this was all arbitrary. I want you to know, nothing is arbitrary. There's a design behind it. I'm glad there's a design. It is a comfort to me there's a design. When things go bad, I'm glad I know the God that allowed things to go bad. They went bad for a reason, and He's going to bring me through them. Amen? Something else I want you to see here real quick. Look in John 15, if you would. John 15. John 15, and notice verse 26, where it says, "But when the Comforter," again, the issue of Comforter, "is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of Me." Now, I know he's prophesying there of the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit that will come into believers and abide in believers. I know that's true. We've already learned, though, that the Holy Spirit is God's Spirit, is Christ's Spirit. The Holy Spirit living in me is the Spirit of Christ living in me. Right? So, ladies and gentlemen, whatever else is the case, you have the truth. Now, you ever stop to think about how many people live their entire lifetimes, not only their entire lifetimes, their predecessors. There are villages in this world, ladies and gentlemen. There are mountaintops, there are plains, valleys in this world where folks have lived for generations without any light whatsoever. Brother Mark lives in a country of 16 bagillion people. He can look out his window any day and see tens of thousands of people moving through that have never received the truth one day in their life. You ever stop to think about the fact there are folks that go through an entire lifetime and never one day know the truth about anything that matters? They spend their entire lifetimes deceived by the God of this world, deluded by the devil and their own flesh, and deceived by other men. You, however, the Bible says, you have the truth. You have the Spirit of truth. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, right? The Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Look, I wonder how many people there are that have died pursuing the truths and the wisdom of the ancients, of the Incas, of the Gnostics, of the Stoics, of the philosophers, of some professor here, there, or yon, or some lost people here, there, or yon. How many folks today, how many archaeologists are today looking into the archaeology behind the Egyptians or the Romans, trying to uncover all the wonderful wisdom those people had? I just wonder how many folks lose their lives like that. Never one day do they accept or feel that they have in their hands, in their grips, the very eternal truth of God, the very final authority in all the universe. I believe I have a pocket Bible. I can put an entire Bible in my back pocket. I believe that I have a Bible I put in my back pocket, and I carry on my hip the final authority of all the universe. I mean, look, I'm not sure what's going to happen to me. Maybe I'll go the route of my own mother and father who died young of cancer. I don't know. I'm not making any predictions, not challenging the devil or anything. But, you know, if that happens, I'll tell you this right now. Tell you what I'm going to die with. I'm going to die with the truth. And that I'm going to die in that regard. If I do die that way, I'm going to die with something the average guy in this world for all these thousands of years has not died knowing. I know things Stephen Hawking never even thought of. I know things the Pope has never even thought of. I know things, by the way, that angels desire to look into and do not understand. I know things that the prophets did not understand when they wrote the Scriptures. I know things today. It's not because of me. It's not because I'm smart. Not because I have a degree. It's because I have a spirit inside me and a book I believe. And I want you to know right now, ladies and gentlemen, it is a comfort. Is it not a comfort? Should it not be a comfort that you have the truth? The truth. The one and only truth, the only truth that matters. Buddha had no truth. Islam has no truth. Those things have no truth. Whatever you got when you got your degree in philosophy, you've got no truth. If you believe that Epicurean or existential philosophy gives you some corner on the truth, you are deluded and you are wrong. The Bible has the truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. If we've gone that far, then we should say this. Look in Romans 15. So, for me, and again, this is very superficial. This is, there are probably 1,000 other things for somebody that's really been through, you know, dark times, dark valleys in their lives. They probably have a jillion things that have comforted them that I don't know nothing about because I am not spiritual and haven't been through what they've been through. However, I'll tell you this. An accomplished work is a comfort to me. An abiding presence is a comfort to me. A sealed security is a comfort to me. The potter's hand is a comfort to me. The eternal truth is a comfort to me. And look at Romans 15. Romans chapter 15. And this, of course, is related to what we've already said. Romans 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. I'll tell you what's a comfort to me. The Holy Scriptures are a comfort to me. Now, it's not just they tell me, you know, how to solve my problems or why I should feel better. It's the idea that I have the eternal truth in my hands. I'm told in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I am told that when it comes to me and you, and the idea of the dead and the rapture coming, that we are to comfort one another with these words, right? It is not the Word of God that comforts. It's the words in the Word of God that comforts. Look at Colossians chapter 2 real quick. Colossians chapter 2, and notice how this plays out. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Colossians chapter 2, and notice verse 1. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto, that is, the hearts comforted all the way unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. I mean, we're talking about great riches, great treasures that you have in the Word of God. You have understanding. The angels do not understand. You have knowledge. You've been able to rightly divide the Word of truth and compare things and work out stuff in your Bible that the prophets that wrote the Bible did not understand. I can show that to you in 1 Peter if you like. Those guys looked at that. They could not figure out what manner of time the Lord was talking about when He prophesied of Jesus Christ's sufferings and the glory that should follow. We understand it. You understand things that angels do not understand. You may understand some things that even Satan doesn't understand for all I know. But you understand things the prophets that wrote the Scriptures did not understand. We, through that, we get comfort. We have the full assurance and riches and the treasures of knowledge. It is a wonderful thing. I'll tell you what. If you die with those riches, you'll die a rich man. You may die penniless. Perhaps you'll die on the street somewhere. I'm not really sure. Some beneficent hospital or whatever. I tell you what. If you die knowing the Word of God, you'll die a rich man. Something else I wanted to show you here. Look in John 15 real quick. I'm going to close this out pretty quick here. John 15. Like I said, there's probably a ton of other things that somebody else that's been through some stuff could tell you about. I'm sure that Brother Mark, going through some things he's been through, would be able to take you through an entirely different line of comforts that the Lord's dealt with him about through the years. But in the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Look in John 15. Look at verse 11. These things, well, let's start with verse 10. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. Now, we've been talking about the Word of God here for a couple of points. Notice here, those commandments, the Word of God, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. You've been given the comfort of Jesus Christ's joy itself. Not your joy that He gave you. I'm talking about it's Christ's joy that He gave you, right? The Bible says in Nehemiah 8, the joy of the Lord is your strength. One of the great comforts of God, ladies and gentlemen, is that there is a joy that God gives you if you believe that book. Look in John again, chapter 17, John 17, 13. And now come I to thee, these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy, notice Christ's joy, fulfilled in themselves. Now look, folks, I don't know how you are. You're a bunch of Norwegians and Swedes, so you're not terribly excitable. I know that. I am not horrifically excitable myself. My highs are not, woo, and my lows aren't terribly depressing. I just kind of bottle along, kind of even. You know, little ups and downs like this. I just kind of glide along, kind of even. So, when I say that I have the joy of the Lord, I want you to know the joy of the Lord does not give me the giggles. I don't feel all warm and fuzzy all the time because Jesus blessed me. I just don't. I just don't get the giggles. It's not a laughter thing. I can tell you this. I had a stroke. I was a healthy dude. I didn't have high blood pressure. I didn't have a cholesterol problem. I had a stroke. And you know, it was not easy to go through, but guess what? I was never depressed. I knew the Bible. I knew the truth. I knew the God that allowed this thing. I want you to know the joy of the Lord is real. Now look, when I say the joy of the Lord is real, even on a hospital bed, I want you to know that I believe the joy of the Lord is real. Also at the stake, where I read that guys went and had full joy when they died at the stake for Jesus Christ. I have never been there. I have not known that grace. I'll tell you this. The joy of the Lord is real, and it's not the giggles. Okay? I've got one other thing to show you here before we go. Look in John 14. John 14, and notice verse 27. John 14, 27. Now, I don't know how you would testify if it came down to it tonight. If you were to be asked to stand up and give an account of how in the multitude of thy thoughts within you that God's comforts delight your soul, I'm not sure what you would say. I would have to come to these things and tell you these things. And then there's John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I'll say this. One of the comforts of God is peace. The Bible says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, right? It says furthermore in Philippians 4, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, right? Ladies and gentlemen, like I said, I'm not a terribly charismatic person. I'm not an overtly emotional person. I don't have too many crying jags. I don't get too depressed. I can tell you this, though, just as far as just kind of a guy that bottles along, kind of on an even keel, the joy of God is real. And the peace of God is real. And in all the things that go through my silly, superficial mind, all the thoughts that roll through, at times all the things that I can be bitter about, mad about, unforgiving about, troubled about, worried about, scared about, all those things, I want you to know these things are real. If you've not experienced these things, if you've not taken them seriously, I suggest you get your nose in the book. Because there's going to come a day that you're going to have more thoughts rolling through your mind than you can direct. And in that day, you're going to need some comforts. I suggest they be the comforts of God. Don't go to a psychiatrist. Don't go to a psychologist. Don't go to your bartender, okay? Don't even take your friend out and sit across a table with a cup of coffee and expect them to be able to give you what God can give you. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Father, once again, we come to you tonight, and it's been an attempt here tonight to remind us all of the goodness of God and how, Lord, you give us things that sometimes are very difficult to measure. These are not quantitative measures. There's no way we can weigh out peace or joy or how much the truth comforts a heart or how much the Scriptures comfort a heart. In fact, we can't even measure out comfort at all. Father, we are grateful for a God that's real, and we're grateful for promises that come to our minds and our hearts and our understanding, and they make a difference in our lives. Pray here tonight for somebody that's maybe struggling with that. There could well be somebody here tonight that's never received Christ as their Savior. Maybe their heart tonight is troubled. Maybe their heart laid in fear last night in a bed, fearing maybe what eternity held for them. Hope you'll help them to see, Lord, that all these gifts come to us through Jesus Christ. We're grateful for your love to us. We're asking you to help us here, Lord. We live in troublous times, perilous times. We live in a day, Father, that's been described for thousands of years now in the Word of God. Men have looked forward to these days, and we live in these days, Lord. It's a dangerous time. We pray you'd help us as we go through the normal struggles and storms and trials of life to be able to fall back always on these comforts that we get from our God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Let's remain with our heads bowed here for a couple minutes, our eyes closed. Now, I have some knowledge about what some folks go through in our church. I'm never able to address all the things that arise because there's just too many things that come up. Maybe it's the case with you here tonight that you've sat and you've thought and you've thought and you've thought, and the thoughts just go ricocheting through your mind, and you can't find peace and you can't get any sleep for all the things going through your head. Now, I can't flip a switch and make a change, but I can tell you this. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, God's comforts delight my soul. I've given you some examples here. Go ask Brother Mark after the service what comforted him when he was going through cancer and could well have died, I suppose. Go talk to Brother Kehoe about what comforts him when he goes through the pain of just about everyday life. Go ask somebody that spent some time in a hospital and was seriously debilitated for a period of time what comforted them. But you need to find a place where you can get with God and rely on the comforts of God when your thoughts trouble you, when the multitude of your thoughts overwhelm you. This way, we'll stand with number 286 in hand. 286. Let's pray. Father, we ask you to be with folks now as we go back out pretty much to battle, Lord. That's what we prepare here for every Sunday. Ask you to remember Bev out in Montana with the cancer treatment she's going through there. Pray that you'll be with Ian and his family as they labor to go through this obstacle on Wednesday. Pray that give the doctors all the wisdom and all the touch and all the technique they need, Lord, to be able to square this thing away. Pray to give these folks faith and help them to please you in going through these matters. Grateful for your love and goodness to us, Father. Thank you for being good to us, Lord. Thank you for giving us comforts in the middle of all of our corrupt and sometimes polluted thoughts. We pray that you'll bless us, Lord. Help us and strengthen us. And we pray in Jesus' name.